Let's take our Bibles in Revelation chapter number 21. Before we read from there, I want to read from the first chapter of the book of the Revelation. And I was in a discussion last week, and I was reminded of something, and it's something that I knew, but I'm not going to fuss. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but I'm going to tell you as a pastor why I don't mind to preach from the book of the Revelation. The Bible said in chapter number 1, in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy. Well, let me ask you something. If your pastor never was to preach from the Revelation, where are you going to hear? Amen. And we need to read it. We need to hear it. And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I'll be the first to tell you, there's a lot of symbolism in the book of Revelation. There's a lot of things, Brother Rose, that I don't understand. I've tried to study, and there'll be different ideas about different things. But I tell you, what I preached last Sunday morning, I do understand. John saw what John saw concerning Satan. I can understand that. What he saw concerning the saints of God, I can understand that. And I'm glad I can understand what he saw concerning sinners at the great white throne judgment. I can understand that. And I'm going to a text this morning in chapter 21. And I'm not saying that I understand all about it. And I'm telling you what little bit the Lord will let me glean, I'm going to enjoy it. Amen. Over there. I believe it was the Queen of Sheba that came to see Solomon. She had heard about Solomon's wisdom. She had heard about Solomon's riches. She had heard about Solomon's servants and Solomon's kingdom. And when she got over there, she said, "The half was not told me." I feel like I could preach on what I'm going to preach on this morning till Jesus comes. And y'all would still say in heaven, "Preacher, you didn't tell us the half." Amen. Of those things that the Lord had prepared for us. Let's read in John, Revelation chapter 21, and starting in verse 1. We're going to read the first 10 verses this morning, then hopefully this evening we'll pick up in the rest of the chapter and on into chapter 22. John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Brother Johnny, when the choir was singing, I just thank God, amen. The Holy Spirit has a way of putting things together, amen. And the song about heaven. "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." I read that this week, and I thought about that day when I stood at an altar in Joppa, Maryland, and that lady on the organ changed that tune to that wedding march. And I looked back in that church. They threw those doors open. And there stood Miss Eve. I tell you, I thank God for that day. The Bible's trying to give us a little analogy here, what heaven's going to be like. I tell you, my wife was and is and will forever be beautiful in my eyes. Amen. I appreciate her. The bride of Christ is beautiful as well, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I mean, he's glad for that day in your life when you got thirsty for something besides what this world had to offer. You got thirsty for something besides, amen, the sin and the selfishness and the life that Satan offers, amen. It's actually death. It's not life at all. The Bible said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son. But the fearful, there's a little verse here, time out. He's drawing a contrast here. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Don't you think it's kind of odd in a way that you'd come through chapter number 20 and look at the sinner's judgment at the great white throne, and then John begins to describe, Brother Rose, the splendor of heaven, the splendor of a new heaven and a new earth and that new city, that holy city. And then right in the middle of it, it's like he says, time out. I want to remind you, honey, if your name's not in the Lamb's book of life, you're not going. Amen. If you love sin here and you love to live in sin, you're not going to the city of God. You're not going to heaven. God said, I want to warn you right in the middle of this beautiful text. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, talked with me, saying, come hither, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit. I read that last week. You know what I got to thinking? It'd be good if somebody get carried away in the spirit again. Amen. There was a time, amen, in our country when folks didn't mind to shout. They didn't mind to praise the Lord. Amen. They didn't mind who was looking or what they thought. Amen. They just get carried away in the Spirit of God, praising Him and praising Him. And my friend, we're appreciative of His goodness and His grace. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God in her light. Was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. If correctly read, that's verse 1 through 11 in Revelation 21. Let's pray together. We'll look at this text a while. Thank you, Father, this morning. Lord, that our name is written there. Thank you, Lord, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll have the privilege, Lord, because of Jesus, because of His blood, because of your forgiveness and grace, to stand in that number one day after a while. God, I praise you this morning for your word. I pray, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, as we examine this scripture. God, I pray that you'd bless us together. Help us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want to give you some things this morning, just a couple of things, kind of a two-point outline, I guess, of what John saw. The first thing is a new creation. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. The second thing we're going to look at is a new city. In verse number 2, and I, John, saw the holy city. Thank God this morning for what John saw. And he wants us to get a glimpse of that. You say, preacher, a new creation. Yes, a new creation. The Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. Listen to some of these verses. I didn't realize that it was recorded this many times in the Bible. In Revelation 21 and 1, we just read, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Isaiah 65 and verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Brother Steve, I shouted when I read that this week.
Thank God we're not even going to remember this mess. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, God's going to wipe all that out of our mind. A new heaven and a new earth. And the former heaven, the former earth will not even be remembered in the minds of the children of God. Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And then Revelation 20 and 11, we read this last week. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. God said, there's an old one, there's an old earth, there's an old heaven. You say, preacher, I don't understand how this is going to take place. Well, they didn't understand how the world was going to drown either, but they did. And God's not going to destroy, amen, the earth with water again. That's one of the reasons the rainbow is set in the cloud. There'll be a bow in the cloud, God said. But I tell you, the Bible said there's coming a day wherein the new heaven and the new earth will come. The old one shall melt with fervent heat. Amen. And God is going to give us a new one. Listen to this verse of scripture. The Bible said in 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. I like that, Brother Brian, what Brother Rose wrote in his letter. Looking for Christ, listening for Christ. Amen. And the Bible said that's what we should be doing. Looking for, hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I remember years ago, Miss Eve and I lived in Glade Spring, Virginia. And a Jehovah's Witness came, and they had a little youngin' with them, about, I guess, 8 to 10 years old. And this lady stood on the porch, and she began to talk to me, and I was just green as a gourd. I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew a little bit about the Bible. And she started talking to me about God and his kingdom and how that everything was going to be renovated. And I said to her, I said, so the earth is not going to be destroyed? She said, oh, no. No, the earth's not going to be destroyed. I said, well, wait just a minute. I ran in the house and I got my Bible and I opened it up to 2 Peter, looking for it, hastening unto the coming of the day of God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I'll never forget the look on that woman's face. She had never heard that Bible verse before in her life. And she looked down at that little youngin' and looked back at me and said, we've got to go. I tell you, isn't it sad that people won't accept the truth of God's word? I'm telling you, beloved, God wants us to know there's a new creation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me give you three things hurriedly right here, according to his people. The Bible said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You know what our lives ought to be saying to this wicked world that we live in? This is not it. This is not the end. This is going away, but there's going to be a new one, a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It ought to be according to God's people. That ought to be the message. 1 John chapter number 3. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Aren't you glad? Amen. And the word of God said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I tell you, the people of God ought to be saying to the world, there's going to be a new creation, not only according to his people, but according to his power. Look in verse number 12 again. The Bible said, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The word of God said that our God is a consuming fire. I'm telling you, beloved, this morning, listen, this would help us as Christians. It would help us when the car tears up. to be able to just step back and look at the car. Say, that's okay, car. I realize one day you're going up in smoke anyway. And help us, amen, when something goes wrong at the house and the hot water heater blows up on Sunday morning when people are trying to get a shower to go to church. It help us just to take a half a step back and say, that's okay, house. One day you're going up in smoke anyway. We're just living in tents. This is temporary dwelling. This is not our real home, but we're headed to that new heaven and that new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We see a new creation according to his power. Oh, they mocked in Noah's day. I guarantee you they mocked Noah. They mocked his sons. I guarantee you when it had never rained before and Noah said it's going to rain and there's going to be a flood. And I tell you, when you tell people the world's going to burn up, they'll mock until it's on fire. Help me today. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God said it'll happen and it will happen just like God said. It will happen, amen. According to his people, it's going to burn up. According to his power, it's going to burn up. But then according to his promise. Look at 2 Peter, if you would, chapter number 9. Chapter number 3 and verse number 9. The Bible said the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But his longsuffering to us were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Word of God talks about a promise. Looking in verse number 12 right here, the Bible said, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God. In verse number 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth. If I didn't have anything else, I would look for it, Brother Larry, because our Lord promised. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It's a promise of God, a new creation, amen, a new heaven and a new earth. I tell you, you say, preacher, I don't know about you, but I'd just like to go. Amen. I'd just like to see. And one of the things when we get to go is we're not going in this body. I don't really believe this body could stand it. Amen. But thank God we'll have a new body likened to the Son of God. So we see here what John saw. He saw a new creation. And you say, preacher, even the creation today groans and travails to be delivered. Amen. And we'll get to that a little bit more tonight, maybe. But he saw, number one, a new creation. Number two, he saw a new city. I want to give you a couple of things about this morning. I believe it'll be a blessing. The Bible said in verse number 2, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He saw a new city. Let me give you two things about this city. Number one, it's a holy city. I got to thinking about this, and y'all stay with me just a minute. But what if there was such a thing? You know, there's a big argument, I guess, in the politics about sanctuary cities. Where that you can be in the United States illegal and you can go live in this city, and because there's a liberal mayor and a bunch of liberal politicians, you don't have to worry about being deported. You don't have to worry about getting in trouble with the law, and they call them sanctuary cities. In other words, that what they're saying is there's places in America that are outside the law. Help me. That never was in the plan of our forefathers. Amen. We're not outside the law. But I got to thinking about this. What if in America there was such a thing as a holy city? I want to ask you a question. Would you want to visit? Or would you want to live there? He said, preacher, I don't understand what that question brings out. Well, I tell you what it brings out. It brings out our heart. And I got to thinking, you know, before I go too far, I got to thinking, well, if there was a holy city, boy, I'd like to. And I'm not a city man. I can tell you that right now. I'm a country boy. Amen. But if there was a holy city, I got to thinking, well, man, I'd like to move in. And then I got to thinking, Soon as you did, it wouldn't be holy anymore. Now, you might not understand what I just said, but I think you do. I couldn't move in like this, because if I moved in like this, it would no longer be holy. When I set foot inside the city, a sin would enter into that city. Beloved, listen to me. There's not a holy city in America. There's not a holy city in Europe. There's not a holy city in Asia. There's not a holy city in Africa. There's not a holy city in South America. But in heaven, there's a holy city. I mean, where a holy God reigns, and nothing will enter into that city that defiles. It's what the Word of God said. It's a holy city. Look at verse number 10. The Word of God said, He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. The word holy should never scare God's people. That ought to be what we're striving for. Amen. Now, I'm reminded of what Brother Mitchell said. Brother Brian repeats it often, and it's worthy of repeating. Listen, we're not perfect. We're not there. But what's wrong with striving, amen, to be more like Jesus, more of the one who died for me, more of His saving fullness. See, it's a holy city. And secondly, let me give you this. It's a happy city. Look at verse number 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. I'll tell you, it's going to be a happy city. Listen to what D.L. Moody said. He said, The thought of heaven has cheered the soul of many believers. Some say that we're fools to believe in heaven. He said, but to deny heaven is to deny Jesus, for He came from heaven. It is to place our departed loved ones in the cold, dark grave. It is to deprive millions of Christians of the greatest hope that they have. To deny heaven is equal to murder, for it kills hope. To thievery, for it robs joy. To slander, because it calls God a liar. Honey, there is a heaven to gain, and a hell to shun. It's a holy city. It's a happy city. You say, preacher, why is the city happy? Let me give you some things hurriedly. Number one, because of the presence of Christ. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. The songwriter said years ago, If heaven had no splendor for these eyes to see. Let me break that down. If there was no gates of pearl, if there was no walls of jasper, if there were no streets of gold, if heaven had no splendor for these eyes to see, and if I had no loved ones, if mama wasn't there, and daddy wasn't there, and grandpa wasn't there, and granny wasn't there, and Uncle Bill wasn't there, if I had no loved ones there waiting for me, then I'd still have a longing, and I'd still want to go, because Jesus is there, and that's all I need to know. The presence of Christ will make it a happy city. It's going to be wonderful. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? John saw a new city. John saw a new creation. The presence of Christ. Oh, beloved friend, what a blessing when He's there. And then listen, not only the presence of Christ will make it a happy city, but the absence of the curse will make it a happy city. The Bible said God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for their former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. In this new city, beloved, listen. There's no curse. The curse is gone. The curse is done. The curse is over with. The Bible said in Revelation 22 and verse 3, And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. I say the presence of Christ will make it a happy city, but the absence of the curse will make it. There'll not be one unkind word spoken in that city. Amen. There'll not be one misunderstanding in that city. There'll not be one mom with a broken heart or a dad with a broken heart. There'll be no graves in that city. There'll be no funeral homes in that city. Brother Brian will be out of business. There'll be no hospitals in that city. I'm telling you, beloved, it's going to be wonderful when God takes the curse away. We step into that city. John saw. He saw a new creation, but he saw a new city. It's a holy city. It's a happy city. Happy because of the presence of Christ. Happy because of the absence of the curse. Thank God the curse will not be there. And then let me give you this. It's happy because of the presence of his children. The Bible said in verse 7, he that overcometh. You say, how did you overcome, preacher? Same way the Revelation saints did. By the blood of the Lamb. That's why we're going to sing about that blood, Brother Johnny. We're going to sing a new song. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The angels won't even be able to sing that song. They'll have to step back and let the bride sing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He redeemed us to God by his own precious blood. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 9. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Listen to me just a minute. How many of you felt like it was an honor to have Brother Rose and his sweet wife with us, Sister Nancy? You understand, I'd only met him that I can remember in a meeting at Gunning's years ago, and I think at Tabernacle up here with Brother Cecil maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And listen, do you understand? There's just something about God's people. You understand, I didn't have to spend 10 years with that man to know that he had a touch of God on his life, to know that his eyes, my friend, are not on this world and the things of this world, but his eyes are on another world and the things of another world. I tell you one thing right now. You think about how many, Brother Brian, Jimmy Roses, I'm talking about men like him, that have given their life. How many of them will be in this city? My friend, it's not just the presence of Christ, though that's number one. It's not just the absence of the curse. And yes, I believe that's a blessing. But thank God, God's people, God's children are going to be there. Brother Grizzle, I wonder and I worry about people that don't like getting together with God's children down here. I wonder why they would think that heaven would interest them. Brother Randy, if they don't enjoy God's children here, what would make you think you'd enjoy them over yonder? Oh, beloved friend, God has a people heaven bound with a hammer down. Wonderful, wonderful saints of God. I told Miss Eve the other day, we were listening to the radio. Miss Eve, she didn't know for sure who the preacher was that was preaching. I know we were going down to see Charity and Bob and Olivia and Sawyer. That's been a few weeks back. And I had the radio on going down 75. And this preacher come on. I looked at Miss Eve. I said, honey, that's Brother Stennett Blue. She said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. It ain't but one voice like that. Amen. And she said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. Just a little bit. Brother Stennett finished preaching. I guess maybe we heard 10, 15 minutes of it. He signed off and he said, this is Brother Stennett Blue. I looked at her and said, told you. You know what I'm just as sure of? God's got a house full of youngins that's going to meet in that new city one day after a while. John said, he said, I want you to see what I saw. There's a bride, the Lamb's wife. It's going to get together the children of God through the ages, the presence of his children. Let me say three things quickly. God's children are welcome. All of them are welcome in this city. And then I want to say this. If you go in this city, God's children are worshiping. You can mark that down, honey. If that bothers you because somebody raises their hand once in a while, I tell you, you're going to be out of place in this city. Amen. Amen. If that bothers you because somebody shouts once in a while or hollers, amen. I tell you, I feel sorry for you in this city. Because as old timers used to say, it's going to get on. Amen. We're going to worship Him like we've never worshiped Him before. God's children are welcome. God's children are worshiping in this city. And God's children in this city are all winners. All of them. Down here, if you pitch horseshoes, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. Amen. If you play checkers, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. But I tell you, I'm glad I'm going to a city where there are no losers. Everybody's a winner. Everybody has overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Sister Louise, I wish I had Brother Alvin with me right now. I'd show him what I got wrote down here on this paper and say, you take the rest of it here, brother. He probably could do it. I got confidence that he could. See, if I was a singer, I'd sing this to you. But since I'm not, I'll read it to you. Amen. I'm not sure if them doors would hold everybody in if I'd go to singing anyway. But listen to this song. I thought about it. When I thought about it, it's a happy city. It's a holy city. By the way, the more holy that we are as God's people, listen to me, the more happy we'll be as God's people. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm just not too happy. I never get happy. If you'll examine your life real good, you'll find out why. Listen to this song. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy, over there. We will shout and sing His praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in triumph song. Everybody will be happy. How many's ever heard this old song? Honey, I tell you what, Brother Johnny, light that choir up and sing it if you can get it. Amen. Everybody will be happy over there. We'll meet the one who saved us. And who kept us by His grace. Who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise His name forever. As we look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. We will sing and shout His praises. Everybody will be happy over there. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad John saw a new creation and a new city. John saw. That's what we have waiting for us. I have two questions this morning and I'm done. Two questions. Do you have a reservation in that city? Do you have a reservation? The Bible said, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. 1 Peter 1 and 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Do you have a reservation over there? Do you know that you know that you know? If you breathe your last breath here, Your next breath will be in the presence of God Almighty. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. The second question, not only do you have a reservation in heaven, but are you laying up treasure in heaven? You see, if you have a reservation in heaven, then certainly you ought to be laying up treasure in heaven. The Bible said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. I'm telling you, somebody might say, well, in the investment world, I wonder what the best investment is today. I can answer that, and I'm not an investor. But listen to me, I'll tell you what the best investment is. Lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. I can remember the disappointment, Brother Larry. If I thought about it real hard, I might be able to remember the man's name, but there was a man came and my mom and dad had great confidence in him, and he sat at the kitchen table and he told mom and dad how they could do this. But they didn't have a lot of money, but what little bit of money they had and how they could do this. And I can remember the excitement, you know, to be able to have a little nest egg. I can remember Dad, when he told me, son, he said, we had to remortgage the house. I said, why, Dad? I know how excited he was when he got it paid off. Because Mama got sick and nobody would insure. She wasn't at that age yet where she could be on Medicare or anything like that. And he had to pay the hospital bills and the doctor bills. And so he's right back into a house payment. I can remember the disappointment. It just was so good to have it paid off. Then I can remember that day when Dad said to me, son, I don't know what happened, but we lost all of that. Let me tell you something about what's laid up in heaven. You'll never be disappointed. There'll never be any crooked man or crooked woman or crooked system will come in and steal it. Amen. It's reserved. God will take care of it. He said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Amen. Where the moths can't get to it. The rust can't get to it. I used to tell people, Brother Johnny, that's one evidence. There'll never be a Chevrolet in heaven. Never. If that hurts your feelings, God bless you. Amen. But the Bible said the rust wasn't going to get in. I'm excited. This ain't the end, Brother Larry. But I feel like we're living on the threshold. Looking for and hasting to the day of God when we can finally get home. When we can finally get home. Finally be like Him. Finally be with Him. Finally, no more curse. Finally, all of His children get together. Finally, the presence of Christ. I don't know about you this morning. I sure am glad God let John see. Let me give you this. I was going to save this for tonight, but it just come back to my mind. You get over there in chapter 22, Brother Randy, and I think the angel told John to seal not. Don't seal him. And I wrote in my notes for tonight, the angel said, John, don't seal it. Share it. You know what we ought to do when God lets us see something? We shouldn't seal it. We ought to share it. Somebody needs it. Amen. Somebody needs that word of encouragement. Somebody needs that testimony. Somebody needs that light that God has given you to shine in their life. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that John saw a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Lord, as I
prepared to preach, I thought about all the unrighteousness in our land, how that even our government is rewarding unrighteousness instead of rewarding righteousness. Oh God, I pray that we would look for, long for, the coming of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we've touched on what John saw, that we would realize, Lord, every preacher in America could preach till Jesus comes on this one subject, and the half would not be told us. When we get there, Lord, I don't know what it'll be like in a glorified body, but I feel like, Lord, I'm going to want to do like John did. I feel like I'm going to want to fall at your feet and thank him for what he has done. I feel like, Lord, after we spend some time at your feet, we might get up and look around. Lord, we'll see our loved ones. Lord, we'll see gates hewn out of solid pearl. We'll see splendor and beauty like we've never seen before in our life. God, I know, Lord, that heaven would never be heaven without Jesus. I know you'll be there waiting. You promised you would, Lord. I pray until then, Lord, you'd help us to be about our Father's business. I pray, God, that you would help us to look for, live for that day, to lay up treasure in heaven.